You're listening to Voice of the Shoe Swap, and this is one of a series of interviews with candidates in the upcoming federal election. The election will be taking place Monday, April 28th, and we urge every listener, in fact, every eligible citizen, to get out and vote. There are several ways you can vote: at an electoral office, in advance polls, by mail, or on Election Day. For more information, please go to elections.ca and click on How to Vote. CKVS doesn't take a position on who to vote for, and to be entirely fair and impartial, we ask all candidates we interview the same questions. We hope their answers will interest and inform you as you prepare to cast your vote.
I'm Warren Bell, and today we're with Ken Robertson here in the studio, who is running as the candidate for the Federal Liberal Party in the upcoming federal election in our riding, which is Kamloops-Shuswap Central Rockies. Welcome, Ken, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here and have these talks to your listeners, and especially you, Warren.
Thank you very much. So let's get right down to the questions. People have called this one of the most important elections in Canadian history. How do you feel about that? And how do you feel about being caught up in this moment?
Well, to your first question, I mean, there's a lot of unease, especially with our neighbor from the south. And I think this election gives the power back to the people to vote for that type of leadership that we're trying to present under Mark Carney. And I share that vision when it comes to Mark Carney. But for the second part, I mean, this is the time and place where we have to make a difference and make a stand, more importantly, and stand up for Canadians.
So let's talk a bit about how you got to be a candidate. Were you involved in politics or interested in political matters before this election?
Yeah, well, I did a lot of volunteering back in 2015 and other campaigns. And at that time, for sure, I wanted to see a change in regards to the administration. But more importantly, I did run in 2021, South Okanagan, West Kootenai, as a candidate, a Liberal candidate down there. So I do have some background in regards to campaigning.
Well, let's talk on a little bit more about you and your background. Mm-hmm. Were you born in this part of the world?
Yes, yeah, so I was born in Kamloops, raised in Chase. My reserve is just west of Chase, Nisqually, IR1. And my dad's side, the Scottish side, is in Chase. It's where our home is. And he worked 45 years at Interfor as a millwright. And he definitely talked about, you know, the ideology. He instilled liberalism, talking about the charter and rights and what it represents, not just for one individual, but all Canadians.
What was your life like growing up there and before you came to this area?
Well, learning at a younger age, I do have a twin brother. My spirit name, Squalux, meaning bear cubs. That was given to me by my Sarah Denault, Ida August. And at a young age, she saw, because we are the bear clan. But for the most part, it's understanding, you know, how to grow up in a small town, first of all. But more importantly, how different it was compared to the urban center. So my younger twin brother, by 4 minutes, by the way, he had childhood cancer at the age of six, and we had to go access critical care and treatment off reserve. So learning this at a young age, I understood that to seek help for these illnesses, you have to leave your reserve. So a lot of families have to make this choice, but it's not really a choice.
So what's your living situation now?
Yeah, well, I have a lovely wife and four lovely children, two of them on the spectrum. And as children sort of shape you in your responsibility and your pathway of life, and with two that are autistic spectrum disorder, learning from previous what I was talking about in regards to my brother, we always have to access these critical health care and those choices. But for the most part, I am in Chase. This is my territory, ancestral. But for the most part, this was always my home in Shawemek territory.
So since living this area, what sorts of work and other activities have you been involved in?
Yeah, so I established my small business, Four Directions Autism. And in regards to that, I do pro bono work for Indigenous families in request systems, for instance, and the Jordan's Principle, which is really complex request system through the government. But more importantly, I do also cultural competency training in regards to healthcare providers so that when they are engaging with our communities, that they have a tool in the toolbox when engaging so they can learn about history. They can learn about the history of healthcare and Indigenous communities. But more importantly, that we provide a necessary service.
What is it that keeps you here?
Well, besides our beautiful waterways and, you know, our beautiful landscape of mountains, the people. I mean, for the most part, we have to really look out for our neighbors in these small communities, because even though we all know each other probably on a name basis or last name basis, it's that history of understanding that we have to look out for each other and take care of each other in these critical times, especially when it comes down to identity, but sovereignty as well. There's definitely something amidst when we have to make a true connection with each other.
So let's talk about what it's like being a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone through a training program?
Well, I wouldn't call it a training program. It's more of starting with a baseline of knowledge in how campaigns are not run, but how you run it. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes and lies to the candidate itself, but also the campaign manager, having those sort of discussions with each other. But more importantly, trying to get out there, door knocking, trying to phone call. But, you know, signage is obviously one of the things they hear the most. But more importantly, it's about that connection, because it's not really about me. It's hearing from the people what they have to say, because they are the true voice.
Mm-hmm. So what's a typical day for you like now?
Well, for the most part, it's door knocking, because mm-hmm. I want to meet those people mm-hmm. who actually at the door to hear what they have to say, but also to make inroads to those who have not met me, to let them know some of the things I've done. For instance, when I established Four Directions, I was recognized by the Governor General of Canada for the hard work advocacy work, where I received my Material Service Medal, Civilian Division. But it's that hard work is great to be recognized, but there's always more to be done. And that's why I want to be an advocate for Kamloops, Shuswap, Central Rockies.
Is being a candidate like you thought it would be?
Well, with my previous experience, it's always different from writing to writing, for sure. Different viewpoints from those voices that truly want to voice not just their opinion, but what's their concern of not just today, but in the long term as well. And hearing from them is what it's truly about. But yes, it changes from cycle to cycle for sure.
So what are two or three goals you're proud of achieving since you've been working in this kind of public sector?
Well, for this public sector, I mean, meeting new people is one of the best things that I've felt. I've had people come up to me who I've never known, and Ken Robertson, yeah, that's me. Hi, nice to meet you. And they're just, give me some reasons why you're running here. Well, I'm a homegrown boy from here. I went to school here. There are truly things that matter to me, with access to healthcare, with our aggressive plan in regards to that, to housing. But more importantly, a lot of people don't want a type of political style that's coming from down south. Mm-hmm. And I have all stripes coming over to my banner, when it comes to these issues, because at the end of the day, it matters to them.
What particular quality do you feel you bring to your candidacy? Not just what the party is looking for, but qualities you have personally that make you a suitable candidate?
Well, I've done various engagement pieces with policymakers before, bending the arm of those decision makers and recommendations. 10 years ago, when I started my small business, I started the conversation of a national autism strategy. Because kids nowadays are being treated, and individuals are treated from province to province on different ways of how they administer those resource allocations. Last year, National Autism Strategy received Royal Assent, and it started off with my initial report that I worked collaboratively with the Canadian Academy of Health and Science so that we could start this conversation. So, for instance, I want to leave this world knowing that I left it in better hands than I found it.
What particular policies of the Liberal Party do you feel most strongly about, and what ones resonate with you personally?
Yeah, so, I mean, healthcare stability. The Liberal Party put a 10-year health accord in regards to healthcare funding. But there's more work to be done, as COVID shown us that we have definitely cracks as the system goes. But more importantly, we have to work with our partners, which are the provinces and territories, to get more doctors, to get more nurses, to get more specialists and more treatment in our pharmacare plan as well. Personally, obviously, being Indigenous too, that I do want to see reconciliation, which is a never-ending road. It doesn't stop after 94 calls of action. I want to be that advocate to be true allies in that regard.
Now, you're running for a national party in a national election, and there are two important issues that affect all voters in all parties: the climate crisis and the actions of the current U.S. government led by Donald Trump. So let's discuss each in turn. Mm-hmm. The change of climate and increased extreme weather events, how will your party deal with this very serious problem?
Mark Carney still has a vision that, and the Liberal Party and myself want to see by a net zero by 2035. But at the same time, we can't send a system shock to the system itself, but even though some would say they're incremental, but at the same time, we have to be conscious of that. Because at this very moment, we've seen every year how drastic things have gotten, from droughts to wildfires to our big Shuswap Lake having the lowest levels in many years, meaning our glaciers are getting less and less of snow, ice pack. So for sure, we have an aggressive to get there, and we want to make sure that people understand that we're not denialists when it comes to these things. We actually want to lead the way, not just export our technology. We want a homegrown technology to prove to the world that we mean business.
And how do you personally feel about this, the climate situation?
Well, I am saddened for sure because our landscape is changing. I mean, every year we want to enjoy summers instead of talking about fires, right? We want to have memories created for families that can enjoy our waterways, our hikes and trails, and also camping. I mean, for the most part, we get a lot of tourism here, obviously, but at the same time, people call this place home. But at this, we as a party and Mark Carney want to let Canadians know that we hear you and that we definitely want to work hard in regards to this achievement.
Now, the U.S. government under Donald Trump is disrupting many aspects of that country's government and constitution. How will your party specifically address this ongoing situation and its impact on Canada?
Yes. Well, first and foremost, Mark Carney has the leadership and vision. He does have, you know, a Rolodex of governments and private business owners on a first-name basis. He's established himself to get us in through this tumultuous time. But Canada will be leading the way if America does not want to lead this. And that's what he will bring. That's what I will bring to the table. And in regards to advocating on their behalf, so that we need to establish old allies in Europe and make new true trade routes throughout the global economy.
And how do you feel personally about the situation south of the border?
Well, look, I have many friends who are from the States, some who were for him, some who are not. But for me personally, this is economic warfare for the trade war. And we do have a few hitting cards, I'll say, when it comes to how we have to address this in a cool, calm, cool, collective manner, but in a Canadian style. And that's what Mark brings.
What other issues that are national in scope, or even international for that matter, do you feel are important?
Well, we need to protect those jobs that we do have here. Like I mentioned before, my father was in the forestry sector for many years. Tariffs were not a new thing then, and they're not a new thing now. The only thing that has changed is the increase of those tariffs. We have won every WTO ruling when it came to softwood lumber, for instance. But people have to understand the USMC, 99% of it is tariff-proof. We're talking about the 1% here. And this is where not just supply management comes into effect, but we do have to look at, we need to make more of our wonderful products from start to finish, from raw to raw material to Canadians who make those products that are highest grade of all. But we also want to make and build with our housing, for instance, all Canadian-made houses, because I find that we need to establish getting government back in the game for this. But more importantly, we need to secure those jobs because they chose this career, for instance. We don't want them switching their career, but we need to also understand the circumstances that is happening. So in regards to that, you know, making EI more accessible so that when there's short-term shutdowns, for instance, that they can access this.
So what issues do you feel locally, meaning in this riding, are the dominant matters that you will focus on if you're elected?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, affordability, of course, is one of the highest ends. Housing, of course, as I was just mentioning, an aggressive plan of 500,000 for the next 10 years. And the third one, of course, is the threat of our sovereignty is one of the highest things I hear at the door. Is that we do not want to become a territory like Puerto Rico. We have our own identity, and that's what Mark Carney and I will stand for and step up.
What is one thing, or perhaps two or three things, that you'd really like to accomplish if you're elected?
Yeah, so for the most part, I always want to convey to those voters at the door or your listeners online or listening in their car that I want to see an effective change of infrastructure here. I want to work with municipalities and Indigenous leadership on economic development throughout the region from all the boundaries. But I also want people to enjoy our beauty here that we have. Our national parks, our historical sites, but also walk that road of reconciliation together, side by side, not as divided, but united.
How do you intend to try and achieve these goals if you're in office?
Well, first and foremost, we need to engage with each other. You know, I'll have an open door policy, for instance, if elected, as it is the people's office. But as I mentioned previously in my forums, the door does swing both ways. So from no matter what political stripe, it's not about what divides us. I want to find a common ground so we can actually talk about the meat of the matter and then get it going. Because I'm not that voice, as I mentioned before, but I am that vessel to convey those voices to Ottawa and have those healthy debates within caucus, within cabinet, within the Prime Minister himself. And that's what it's truly about.
How do you see your days going if you're elected?
Well, let's see, after April 29th, the real work does begin. And I want to hit the ground running by having coordination with those municipalities and local indigenous leadership and start to have that engagement piece, but have questions for them so that they can understand why I'm asking these questions. But more importantly, I want to hear their questions so I can answer them and convey those. But working together collaboratively in a partnership, showing each other that we can make something of this, but in reality, that we can achieve it too.
So if you're elected, would you support funding for community radio and public broadcasting such as the CBC?
Well, first and foremost, the Liberals and, Mark Carney has been on CBC as well. As you know, previously, the Liberal Party has supported the newspapers all the way to the CBC as well, because some candidates wanted to fund that. And I don't believe in that. I believe this is an institution of the community. I believe CBC is an institution of our national broadcasting. But we need to let those who want to work in the communities give that opportunity and stabilize that type of funding so that we can still have this type of engagement.
So now for a final question, Ken, if you're elected, what are the things you'd like to be remembered for after you've completed your time in office?
Well, as we know, it's a four-year cycle, but for the most part, I'm looking at a long term. I want to definitely want health care provided with throughout the region here. There's, 700,000 British Columbians waiting for a doctor. I want to change that across the board, of course, but here personally, my families are, it's really, I've heard from Indigenous and non-Indigenous about how hard it is, where it's just clinics that they can go to where there's still wait times. And that's where I want to see a long-term strategy with a health accord that we previously negotiated so we can stabilize funding. But we need to be prepared because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when another pandemic's going to hit us. We need to have a proper understanding in our management of that as well, working with provinces. The second part to answering your question is that we have to recognize that the inherent land and title holders, we need to hear from them being on unceded land. This is where we have to really join with those allies and not exclude them from the table. Listen, we all have something to bring to the table, and that it's a voice. And that's where I truly want to hear from is both sides of the river, for instance, non-Indigenous and Indigenous when it comes to reconciliation.
Well, that's the last of our questions, Ken, and thank you very much for taking the time to come into the studio and share your story with us, and good luck in the upcoming election.
Well, thank you for having me and asking these questions, because I truly want listeners to understand, if elected, I want to represent them to the truest that I can be, and that I'm here for them.
Thank you again, Ken. This is CKVS-FM 93.7, the voice of the Shuswap, and you've been listening to our interview with Ken Robertson, who is running as the candidate for the Federal Liberal Party in the upcoming federal election in our riding, which is Kamloops, Shuswap, Central Rockies.
Once again, we urge you to vote in this very important election. You can find all the information you need about voting by going to elections.ca. You can hear our interviews again with all the candidates who consented to being interviewed by visiting voiceoftheshuswap.ca, clicking on podcasts, and scrolling down to 2025 federal election coverage. Thank you for listening.